The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudette.
Welcome back to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette, and today I'm with Neil Schaefer. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Glenn. It's a pleasure and honor to be here.
Neil, can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I am a social media consultant. I've been in business since January of 2010. Helping companies with their social media strategy, social business strategy. In addition to that, I speak a lot. I've spoken in Europe and Asia on a wide variety of social media topics, including North America, of course. I teach as part of the Rutgers University Social Media MBA program. I own my own blog with about 20 plus social media for business contributors at Maximize Social Business. And I've written 3 books on social media, including my most recent called Maximize Your Social.
So you got a lot of free time in your hands, Neil.
Yeah, exactly. I'm what you would call a social media hustler.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you first got involved in social. I mean, what was the big aha moment for you?
Well, I am sort of unique in that I'm a native. When I say Native American, I was born and raised in the United States. Went to college out there in Massachusetts near you, Glenn, out there in Amherst College. Oh, yeah. And when I graduated, I went straight out to Asia to start my career. So I came back to the United States. Still working for company, doing Asia sales, marketing, biz dev. And it was February of 2008 where for the first time I was going through transition in the United States where I had no network. And I realized at that point that I had to suddenly create this network that I didn't have because my network was in Asia. And it was at that time that I started using a social network called LinkedIn. Now, if you turn the clock back 6 years, there weren't that many social networks and there were very few that professionals were on, and LinkedIn was really the default. Yeah. So, I started with that and I realized how to utilize LinkedIn as a tool. And there were many, many ways in which I saw people had this personal attraction with LinkedIn or an emotional bond with it. Whereas I was looking at it purely as a tool. How is it going to help me meet my objective? So through that, I uncovered a lot of unique things. I started reaching out to people in LinkedIn groups. I became what you would call an open networker. And at that time, we were still, real people that were connecting with other real people. And I said, hey, if you have any questions, let me know. And I started getting lots of questions about LinkedIn. And I started a blog in July of 2008. That became Maximize Social Business. So at the end of it, it was 2009 where I 2008, I found my job. Unfortunately, it didn't last that long. In early 2009, I was going through interviews. My wife said, you know what? If you don't find a job in the next month or two, why don't you write a book? And that's what I ended up doing. And in September of 2009, I published Windmill Networking, Understanding, Leveraging, and Maximizing LinkedIn, which led to speaking engagements, which led to the, launching of my consultancy. So it happened all very, very organically. I have a background in primarily B2B, sales, biz dev, and marketing. And I did this all in Asia, in new markets for foreign companies. So I had to sell externally, and I also had to sell Asia internally. And it was really that holistic business experience that I think gave me a lot of unique insight that is very applicable to social media, both trying to engage in new communities as well as social media marketers, we're always trying to get more budget and more, respect for what we do internally. And that's not an easy sell as my sell for getting more resources in Asia without having the sales to show at the beginning was a difficult sell as well. So I think that's really helped me, and that's who I am today.
We see that a lot, Neil, and with a lot of companies, the social media folks tend to be the kind of the newest kid in the block, particularly in marketing, right? And so with being the newest person or people, you don't necessarily always have an existing budget that you're pulling from. So when people come to you around that, what do you talk about? I mean, because that's a challenge, right? Because there's a lot of great tools out there and resources. But at the end of the day, like any other aspect of marketing, there's a certain amount of budget that you need. So what do people come to you and say, Neil, help me?
Yeah, that's going to be different for every single company. But You know, I think the golden rule is that companies are in business to do business, increase sales, lower expenses. And marketing has a budget, which is an expense, and it also generates ROI for companies, right? It generates sales. At the very beginning, unless you have an executive board that says you must do social media, which are very few, obviously, you know, obviously there is this, there's this perspective that, you know, at the very beginning, what's the ROI of social? I don't get it. It looks like a waste of time. So at the beginning, I think most marketers really have to work within their own budget. They have to find ways to make ends meet. I encourage marketers to really, you know, do a zero, you know, zero sum breakdown of your budget. A lot of budgets have come about year in, year out, and you still have a lot of legacy things that maybe made sense to do 2 or 3 years ago, but maybe they're just not as effective today as they were then, whereas we know that we need to be doing something with social. So always reallocating budget. Usually the money for social, I believe at the beginning, comes out of SEO budgets, comes out of pay-per-click budgets. It's just taking 1% here, 1% there, and doing something to start that program. I don't want people to be volunteering, spending your own money on tools or spending your own time on the weeknights, you know, creating social media accounts and posting, which some, I know some companies have done. And that's just crazy because you're working for the business. So, you know, start with reallocating, try to build a story internally. In Japan, where I worked for 15 years, there's a term called nemawashi, which is like the root of the tree. So you're trying to grow this big tree and you need to, you know, make sure your roots grow deep into the ground. And those roots are all the people around you. They're the people within marketing. They're the other department managers. They're the executives in your company. So it's about building a good rapport and really educating them, right? When you see a great social media book of, you know, lending it to them, when there's a great webinar going on or a great conference, of inviting them to go, or at least, you know, getting their executive assistant to go so that they can report on it. So it's education. And that's why I launched a consultancy, because I believe what companies and, you know, including marketers need, they need education and they also need strategy. And that's the same now, 4.5 years later, as it was back in 2010.
So in terms of education, where are the big areas? Is there a top three that you see where people usually start out with from an educational point of view?
Well, you know, you have books and there's great social media books out there. Every year I put out an annual list. My list for 2013 is actually supposed to come out in the next week or two. So it'll be a summer reading list. But you know, every year I'd say there's between 10 and 20 really, really good social media books that come out. And some may be saying, ah, books are old school and what have you. But, you know, from an author's perspective, it takes a long time to write one, to, debate what you're going to put in it, to really make sure that everything you source from the internet or from other authors is, you know, there's a footnote there with a link. So obviously those are sort of what I would like to call authoritative works. Now you also have blog posts and there are great blogs out there from Social Media Examiner to Social Media Today. There's some great companies. Obviously Gagwamp, you have your own blog. It's a great blog. You have, you know, the Hootsuites of the world and the Simply Measures of the world and all these social media tool vendors that have blogs. So there's no lack of information out there. You also have conferences, and conferences are a great way not only to hear the latest and greatest, but to actually meet other marketers and other professionals and understand their challenges as well. Social Media Marketing World, I think, is obviously one of the best. Employee advocacy, and if that's sort of the angle at which you're using Gagwamp, we're going to be having the first ever employee advocacy summit in Atlanta. That's part of Social Media Today's Social Shakeup. So that's probably a must attend event for a lot of you. And there's, you know, Content Marketing World out there in Columbus by the Content Marketing Institute. And, you know, and most social media marketers obviously are very interested in content marketing. There's a few others, but I think those really rise above. And then you have the Social Media Success Summit put on by the Social Media Marketing World, which is Social Media Examiner. And that's actually going to be coming up in October, and that's a virtual event. But if you want to get, you know, the latest and greatest in education, I think that's a great event as well. You know, the other thing that marketers need to do, and I talk a lot about it both in my book and in my blogs, is experiment, is try out new platforms, try out new tools, try out new types of content, try out new subject matter for your content. And it's really this data-driven approach of never-ending experimentation and seeing how things work that you often derive a lot of insight as well. At the end of the day, you're going to be listening to others speak or write or who you meet, and you're going to try something out anyway. Why not use your own internal guidance and your own analysis and do something new and see how that works and track it over time? And that's how I think you see a lot of social media marketing programs really go from good to great, or, you know, cross the chasm when they start doing that, and they track it and they find new aha moments, and you know, they go with their strengths and they keep going forward.
Yeah. Tracking is so important. You know, I saw a recent, report that was done, and it said that, social media folks within a company are spending north of 60% of their time developing content,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting to me, because they spend a lot of time creating content and they spend very little time on the analytics, in terms of making sure that that content is actually resonating in the way that they want it to resonate. And it's just, it's one of those things where if you can find ways to verify whether or not that 60% of your time is well spent, that's so important. And I'm curious, what are some of the challenges that you're seeing out there with those people who are looking to, they come to you and they say, listen, we believe in that. We want to start doing that. How do we do it? I mean, you can do it starting with really kind of either free tools or very inexpensive tools just to begin with, right?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really great, it's actually a great trend, because I think over the first few years or, you know, of my consultancy, I saw a lot of companies that really focused on the engagement and having conversations. And then they got into the curating content. They're curating everybody else's content. Well, what does your company have to share? You know, what resource can you become? What are you going to talk about in social, to help promote your own company's ROI, right? And the content does that. So, and the content also is going to be the most time intensive exercise in terms of all the different social media activities you have. So, you know, companies are looking for rational and logical workflows and processes for all this, right, Glenn? That's why you develop your platform, and that's a solid part of it. Now we have the content creation that's finally become part of that. We have content marketing agencies. We have freelancers. We now hire, you know, writers and former journalists. So we have that ecosystem now. The final frontier is the analytics. Now, how much time do you need to spend on it is debatable, right? But at the minimum, and I write about this in Maximize Your Social, you need to have your checks and balances in play. And the checks and balances, usually you would do, you know, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis. You know, most companies, I think it's become a best practice that you get together on a Friday, you have a few departments get together, and you plan the tweets for the next week, right? When you create content, though, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not as simple as creating 140 characters. You're usually doing that in advance. So that's why, you know, maybe monthly or quarterly, but it really is looking back at, you know, those aha moments you're going to have. If you follow my advice in my book and you divide your content into content buckets, you begin to see the different categories of content that perform better than others. Some are going to give you more conversions than others. Some are going to generate more leads. Some are going to add more referrals from different types of social media sites. There's a lot of way to splice and dice it, but at the end of the day, that data must feed into your content strategy, right? And that is the missing link that I think you're talking about. I don't think you need to go overboard with it, but there probably is a lot of intelligence you can do to, you know, significantly improve the content. And there's even a tool vendor that reached out to me recently that will try to analyze your audience and the language that you use in your blogging and try to basically give you advice as to how to change language and tone and grammar structure to better fit your audience and therefore get better engagement and better sharing and more website traffic. So we're at the tip of the iceberg in terms of those sorts of, you know, neuro-linguistic tools. But I think that's where we're going to go, right? Because voice and tone in our content are so important, but it's such a subjective thing right now. I'm looking forward to seeing those objective tools. But the way you start is you need to have your monthly meeting, your monthly analytics. Like I said, look at what types of content. You need to divide your content up in the buckets. Look at, you know, in 10 different metrics. Maybe some of them are social shares. You have the referrals from different social sites. You obviously have how many of them, you know, page views. How many of them, when they went to one blog post, found deeper interest in a lot of other things that you do? How many of them had, you know, high bounce rate, low bounce rate? I think at the end of doing that, you're going to be able to get a lot of great insight. You need to feed that back into your content strategy.
Can you talk a little bit about the buckets? I'm fascinated by that because I think that's the way to go. You really need to identify kind of common themes for the types of content, whether you call it a bucket or a category or something. What's your view on that? What do you talk about in the book?
So I start, and you know, not to sort of toot my own horn here, but Maximize Your Social is a book about how to create a social media strategy. And it really brings all my experience as a social media strategy consultant into the book to help you do it yourself, right? Or to work with an agency to do it for you, whatever it may be. So, you know, in the book, when you meet with companies that have never blogged before, or maybe they blogged, but it was basically self-promotional web copy that was disguised as blog posts.
Right.
You know, well, what should I blog about? It's like, okay, let's look at your sales. You know, do you have four categories of products that bring in 90% of your sales, or 80%, the 80-20 rule? Or do you sell to like four different markets? And I bring in one flower shop that I worked with. That's a really great example. They get half their sales B2C, half their sales B2B, right? So the B2C sales, half of it is basically flowers, half of it are trees. The B2B sales, half of it is landscaping for commercial properties. Half of it is, I guess you'd call it sort of quasi B2C, B2B, but it's more like, you know, floral, services for weddings and for big events, right? Like for event marketing. So, well, great. And if your sales are divided, you know, 25% in each of those, that's where you begin blogging about each one of those topics once a week. So then it's like, okay, it gives you a rational workflow for blogging. Every month you create one blog post about each of these four content, you know, buckets of content, which you could also call categories on a blog role or on your blog. But it really gives you a rational way to start working. And once you start doing it for 2 or 3 months, you're going to find that certain blog categories are going to be more popular than others, right? Play to your strengths. Start blogging in those categories more, and the ones that aren't doing so well, less. And I think at the end of doing that over a few months and looking at how your posts perform across a wide variety of metrics versus the other categories, you're going to find your own road, your own voice, and realize that this is what we should be blogging about, because we see the ROI. It's very organic. And you can see the numbers before you. You know, it's if you're growing a new tree, right? And you see everything sprouting up in your first flowers and what have you. So that's really the easiest way. I think the challenge is for companies that are already blogging is, how do we organize our blog posts into these buckets, and then how do we analyze them within the buckets, right? So you have bucket versus bucket comparison, or category versus category comparison, but even within the same bucket, you're probably blogging about a lot of different things. Which are the ones that are performing better or worse? And you know, how do we tweak the content strategy to align with that?
What's your view on having multiple blogs? So you've got a scenario, it's a fairly large company, different product lines, maybe even different verticals. Do you look at that and say that's a potential for a variety of different blogs, or is it still one big old blog feed with just different categories?
Yeah, you know, there's two different views of looking at that. But I think at the end of the day, if each of your brands has their own website, at the end of the day, they need their own blog posts, because you have your own unique target audience, your own unique culture, your own unique voice. And therefore there's something unique that you can be blogging about, right? It really comes down to, you know, the blog gives companies a social voice, gives you something to talk about on social media, but it also at the end of the day brings people back to your website. It's the magnet, right? So what is that website? If it's one corporate website, then one blog is sufficient, right? If you're trying to bring people back to 5 or 10 different websites, then it's probably a best practice that you want to be blogging across 5 or 10 different websites. If you're a small business out there, you're banging your head against the wall. If you're a huge business out there with the resources, you probably already have separate marketing teams for each of the brands. It's not a typical thing to do. So it just really depends on your stage. But if you have different brands and each one of them is generating more than 10 to, you know, $50 million in revenue, it makes sense to have your own blog for each brand.
Neil, I could talk with you all day long, and there's been some times I have chatted with you a very long time.
Yeah, I have that feeling too, man.
But
as we, you know, but it's funny because with social media, the more you unpeel the onion, right, the more you find that, right?
So. Absolutely. So I do like to round out the show, though, really for our listeners, if there was one thing that they could be doing starting today to really have an impact in their social media marketing, what's that one thing?
I think it is to celebrate and engage with your fans. So any given company that's out there in social media, you have people, you have brands that are retweeting your content, they're sharing your content, they're liking it. And it's really taking the extra step of appreciating and valuing those people and using that as a way to create a relationship with them. You know, in social media, not everybody who shares your content or who engages with your content is going to be your final customer. You have people that are potential marketing partners, right? You also have people that are just very active in social media that that are looking for great content to share, but these amplifiers of content become, you know, influencers in their own right. So not everybody who engages with your content in social is going to be the same, but it's really making the extra effort to engage with them. And I think that's what's missing by a lot of brands. You know, social media was made for people, not for businesses, and people feel empowered. Equally, when brands actually talk back to people as if they were interested in what they had to say and respond to them, it's a really powerful thing that I think most people really appreciate. And that's sort of an emotional trigger that most companies haven't really taken advantage of. So, I mean, if you're a Fortune 50 brand and you're receiving 1,000 tweets per minute, it gets a little bit harder to segment those tweets and respond to the people that matter. But if you're not in that situation and you're only getting between 10 and 100, you know, at mentions a day, for instance, I think it's a lot easier to segment those and say, hey, let's start with engaging with one per day, two per day, three per day. Let's start retweeting their content. Let's start sharing their content. Well, we want to reach out to people for content marketing purposes to create a blog post. Let's reach out to them as well. And I think that's really going to help your company not only get more, you know, not only get more amplification in social media, if you do it right, but also create deeper relationships with social media users that I do believe at the end of the day will lead to, you know, directly or indirectly to more business for your company.
Totally agree, Neil. And Neil, if our, somebody from our audience wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I have two websites. Maximize Your Social is sort of my personal brand, you know, based around the book. I mainly blog at maximizesocialbusiness.com. And I am Neil Schaefer on any and every social network that's out there. So I'm pretty easy to find. It's the tricky part is the spelling. You know, you go into Starbucks and they misspell your name every way possible. So it's N-E-A-L. And the last name Schaefer is S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R. But yeah, I'm pretty easy to get hold of. And, you know, believe it or not, I actually respond back when people ask questions. So, you know, if there's any burning question or any, especially follow-up from this podcast, please feel free to reach out to me. More than happy to help.
Well, and just a quick plug for your gaggle, actually, because your gaggle is actually very popular. And if you want to join that gaggle and get some of the great content that Neil and some of the other folks as part of Neil's ecosystem are putting out so that you can share in your social accounts, I know it's available on our website at gaggleamp.com. Just look for the Join a Public Gaggle button. Is it available on your site as well, Neil?
For Maximize Social Business, in the newsletter, I bring it up every few weeks. I need to create that link. So thanks for the reminder, Glenn.
No problem.
But funny because I actually, you know, I just told you my philosophy about engaging with others that engage with you. I reach out to those people that share a lot of content in our gag when I say, hey, Glenn, I just sent out a few emails last Friday. People that I've never talked to, but they share a lot of our Gaggle content. Hey, I want to help promote you. Do you have any unique pieces of content that I can help share through our Gaggle? And that's really, really important for social media marketing as it is for employee advocacy as well, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, feel free to join and maybe you'll find that we're, you know, we run things a little bit differently than others, but I truly do appreciate and want to help those that help share in our Gaggle.
Great. Neil, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thank you. It's always a pleasure and an honor. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Gaggle Amp and, I just hope that, you know, those that are listening are making the best use possible of your platform.
Thank you. And to everyone else, thank you for listening to yet another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. You'll find more information at www.reagan.com. That's R-A-G-A-N. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gaggle Amp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories.
We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR podcast community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.